Getting rid of things, having fewer clothes, even the tiny house movement has really taken off. But this isn't a new thing. The Bible has been teaching us for years, if we declutter our lives, we'll be able to freely follow Him and live for Him. That in Christ, less can definitely be more.
Beginning our series entitled Less is More, and I apologize, I have been fighting a cold since last Sunday, so if my voice goes out halfway through, just kind of do one of these things and lean in, and you guys can turn me up in the back, and we'll make sure that we make it through this morning. Our series is simply entitled Less is More, and you know, in our world and in our culture, often more is typically the answer, right? If you don't have enough, then you get more, you get more, you get more, you get more, you get more. Usually even to the point where it consumes our time, we tend to do all sorts of things, and we say to ourselves, we're going to just stuff it into the calendar. We'll just get one more thing in there. We'll kind of crush it and push it in to the point where we end up just our lives are completely consumed with all these things that we have to accomplish, all the processes that we have to do, and we just become overwhelmed. And this time of year is really one of the worst. Those of you that don't like crowds, I'm not a huge, like, I don't like being in the middle of a crowd of people pushing in on me. I'm not, like, claustrophobic or anything like that. I just don't like people touching me. That's just, you know, that's just the way that I am. But, you know, if you're in a crowd like that, I mean, you go into, I know some of you, like, got up, like, 3 o'clock in the morning, the day after Thanksgiving, I'm sleeping because tryptophan is coursing through my body at that point in time. If you don't know what that is, that's the drug that's in turkey that makes you sleepy, and it's wonderful. But some of you get up like the day after Thanksgiving, and man, you go out Black Friday shopping, and you're crazy, and you love doing that, and that's great. But for the rest of us, normal people, we don't like that many people around us all the time. And what happens at Christmas time is everybody gets crazier. Have you noticed that? I always chuckle the day after Thanksgiving to see the pictures of the people fighting over some stupid toy or some TV or something like out of this fight or whatever. It's just like, my goodness, take a deep breath, you know? I almost wonder if it would be wise, you know, around Christmas time if they started just lacing our water just with just a little bit of a, you know, downer of some kind. Just take the edge off a little bit. Because our world, we just get so crazy. And we get obsessed with traditions and things that we have to do. And we end up often missing out on the things that really matter because we had to do so much of the things that don't really matter and won't last. We had to have the house completely decked out in lights and our electric bill triple because our neighbor did it, so therefore we have to do it. We have to, our kids all have to, you know, we have to spend $1,000 each on all of our kids, and we have to do this, and we have to do this, and we put these mythical, you know, made-up regulations on ourselves, and then we stress ourselves out. And so what I want to do is just, during this series, is just take a deep breath and go, man, when we really recognize what the Bible teaches about these things, we'll realize that God doesn't want us running around like chickens with our heads cut off. He really doesn't. And especially this time of year, when it comes to Christmas, He really wants us to take a deep breath and understand the real purpose of why we celebrate Christmas. It's not just because we like pine trees. It's not just because we like giving presents. It's not because, you know, some people like it when it snows. It's not any of that. It's about Christ. It's about Jesus, and it's about what He wants for each and every one of our lives. And this is a great time of year because right after Christmas comes New Year's, when you start to think about your life and you look back over your life and you go, man, how did I get here? Or why am I here? And you begin to look at things and you begin to ask questions and you begin to change and alter. And so this is a perfect time to go, man, where am I in my relationship with Jesus Christ? So today, we're going to simply talk about less spending more giving. And I don't want you, you know, every kid in the room just clenched up because they're like, I'm not going to give as many presents this year. That's not so much about what we're talking about. It's really about how you invest your life, okay? It's really about how you use your day-to-day life. And we spend so much on things that don't matter. So the big idea for today is simply this. When we spend less, and then in parentheses, I'm telling you what I'm talking about. When we spend less time, energy, money, and effort, when we spend less time, energy, money, and effort on things that won't last. So ask yourself the question, okay, especially this time of year. And I loved it when our girls were really, really little and we would get them presents, especially when they were really, really little, and you get them a present that comes in a box and you take the present out of the box and they squeal and it's so exciting, right? And then 2 minutes later, they're playing with the box. And you go, we should have just gotten in the box. That would have been a whole lot cheaper and they would never remember. It'd be great. And we really need to understand that there's a lot of things in this world that we do and we spend so much time on, but a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, it won't matter. It won't make a bit of difference. It won't last. And so when we recognize that and we say, okay, I'm going to intentionally spend less time, energy, effort, and money on things that won't last, then that what that does is that gives you more time, energy, and money to give on things that last forever. You see, when we spend less time, energy, money, and effort on things that won't last, then we can give more time, energy, money, and effort to things that last forever. When you look at your life and you ask the question, okay, you know, I look at my time, I look at how I spend my time, and you go, okay, what of those things that I spend my time on will last forever? What of the things in my time that I'm spending really won't make a bit of difference 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 20 years from now, after I die? And you begin to total that up, I think you'll realize that we spend a vast majority of our time on things that don't matter. Now, I'm not talking about like brushing your teeth. That's an important thing. Or taking a shower, those of you that are teenage boys, that's a good thing. These things, you know, are routines that we do, right? And things that we do, that process. But I'm talking about the bigger picture, the things that you spend time on. What's really going to matter? The things that you spend effort on and energy and money. What really is going to matter in the long run? Because when you break it all down and you begin to ask the question, okay, what gifts does Jesus want? Well, the bottom line is that Jesus wants you to use your life in honor of him. And so everything and anything that you do in honor of him lasts forever. So much so that the Bible says that everything you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do you know that you can eat and drink for the glory of God? Praise Jesus. I love it. Because it's all about an attitude. So some of you this morning, maybe the big thing that needs to change is not what you're actually doing. It needs to be the attitude behind why you're doing it. Some of you may need to have some massive changes in actually what you're doing, because what you're doing is really not focused on anything other than you or what you think is important. And so as we stop and we think about that, I just want to challenge you. When we spend less time, energy, money, and effort on things that won't last, it allows us to have more to give to things, time, energy, and effort to things that will last forever. So I want to begin, in fact, this is the only verses we're going to talk about today, because I think it's so cool. Jesus literally gives us kind of his wish list. And he lays it out really clearly in Matthew chapter 25. He's telling a story, a parable, and he's talking about using this analogy of when a king comes back, how he's going to expect his people to have taken care of those around them. And the analogy is that he's talking about himself. He refers to himself as the king. And that one day he's going to come back and we're all going to have to give an account to how we invested, how we spent our lives, how we used our lives. Because remember, the whole point of being a follower of Jesus Christ is to use your life to honor him. To invest everything that you have, your whole life, everything that you do for the glory of God. And so in this analogy, in this story, those who are his citizens are us. We're the people who are part of the kingdom of God, and we're following him. And one day he's going to come back and give an account. And just prior to this, he said he comes back and he says to a group of people that didn't live the way that he wanted them to, he's going to say, you didn't do this, and you didn't do this, and you didn't do this, and you didn't do this. And he's going to say, whoa, when did we see you this way? When did we see you in difficulty, in hunger, in disrepair? When did we see this? He says, when you did not do that to the least of these, you did not do that for me. And then he goes this in Matthew chapter 25. He says, for I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones are the ones that did the right thing, right? I don't want to over-spiritualize it. He's using this in the context of this analogy of kingdom and citizens and all that stuff, but he's talking about us. Those people are going to say, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, inviting you in, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick? When did we ever see you in prison and visit you? I'm sorry, Jesus. I love you and I followed you my whole life, but I never saw Jesus personally until after I died and went to heaven and met you. And this, I don't understand. How did we see you this way? We never saw you. What are you talking about? And he says this. He says, and the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. So just kind of put it all together, put it in the simplest form. Jesus says, when you live your life not all about you, when you recognize that there's people all around you that are hurting and they're in need, when you realize that there are people in your sphere of influence that if you would just show them hospitality or a kind word or gentleness or caring, that there are people who are all around you who just need a little bit of love or care or acknowledgement, that if you recognize and you live this way, whenever you speak a kind word to someone, it is as if you are speaking that to me. Whenever you encourage someone, it is as if you are encouraging me. Whenever you reach down and help someone take a step up, whether it be literally or figuratively, whether it be financially, whether it be giving them something, whatever the case may be, whenever you do that, you are doing it directly to me. And those are the types of gifts that I want to see. Those are the types of things that I want to see come out of your life. Because this is a life represented by somebody who's not all concerned about themselves. They're able to take a step back and look at the world around them and go, man, there's a whole lot more going on than I realize. And here's the thing. I know some people are like, yeah, man, if you go to the continent of Africa and you go to this place down here and this little tribal village or Papua New Guinea or something like that, man, they really got it bad. And that's true. I'm not gonna say that's not true. But folks, let me just tell you, you don't have to get on a plane. You don't even have to get in a car to find somebody in need. There are people all around you. There are people all around you who are in need. Now, they may not be financially in need. They may not be in need of food. They may not be in need of clothing. But anyone that doesn't know Jesus is in serious need. Because the end result of their life is eternal, forever separation from God. You know, you can feed people and you can give people money and you can do all those things, and that's great and there's nothing wrong with it, but if it never results in somebody connecting with Christ, it's kind of an empty gesture, isn't it? I want to just share with you a few ways, and I came across this on a website called Advent Conspiracy, and it's just talking about kind of the same thing we're talking about this morning, kind of taking your eyes off of yourself and off of your own Christmas ideas and kind of looking at the world around you. And they focus primarily on the whole water crisis that's around the world. And I think that's great. I'm not poo-pooing that or anything like that, but I think it's bigger than just that little thing. I think it's bigger to recognize a world in need around us in every way, shape, or form, physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally. And I think that's necessary for us as believers to recognize that. And so what I want to do is I want to share with you just four things. four gifts, if you will, that you can give Jesus this Christmas. And the first one is this: worship fully. Worship fully, because Christmas begins and ends with Jesus. Worship fully, because Christmas begins and ends with Jesus. It's all about Him. Now, when we say worship, worship is an old school word. It's an old English word that is really two words, the word worth and ship, or value, worth-ship. So literally they take that over the years and they turned it into one word that just simply means worship. To give awe or reverence, to recognize one's authority, one's stature over another. And so when we say worship fully, it means that in every area of your life, you recognize God as number one. That's what it means to worship fully. You, in every area of your life, submit to what God says and how you're supposed to live your life. And I'll tell you, I think that's great. We talked about that several weeks ago, a couple months ago, actually. We did an entire series about what it means to simply give it all to God, to be able to give all to Him in every area of your life. But the one thing I think that is so necessary that you will, if you have not done this, you will not get Christmas the way that God intended for you to get Christmas. And the very first thing, the very most important thing, the very greatest gift that you can give God is a gift of yourself. Giving yourself to Him. We read that verse, John 3:16, that God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son. You see, the natural extension of love is to give. If you love someone, you give. I'm not talking about presents. I'm just talking about you give for them. You're willing to sacrifice whatever for that person that you love. You give them that. And God loved us so much that He gave His Son. Now, the question is whether or not you are going to return that love. The question is whether or not you're going to recognize what Jesus Christ did on your behalf, and you will return that love by you giving your life to Him. Now, sometimes when I have these conversations with people, you know, there's like a funny look on their face, like, how do I give my life to Jesus? Is there like a special handshake? Do I hold my, you know, like that? No, it's really simple. The Bible says that if you believe that Jesus Christ is God, is the Son of God, and you confess with your mouth that you believe that He is Lord and that He died on the cross, paying for your sins, and that He rose again, conquering sin and death, giving you freedom and a restored relationship with God, that you have made that decision to follow Jesus Christ. It's really not complex. And I shared this with the teenagers this last week, and I think it'll probably resonate with you a little bit better because you're a little bit older and you remember this thing called checks. Yeah. A check, right, is written out to the person, and the amount is written on there, and then the last thing that you do before you finish that check is what? You sign it. Now, that check is a good check, but that check cannot be cashed until what happens? You turn it over, and you sign your name on the back. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. The Bible says that He came and He died on a cross, and it's as if, the best analogy that I can give you with this is that He wrote this check, redeemed, forgiven, paid for, everything that you've ever done, everything that you ever will do is taken care of, it's paid for, He signed His name, and He has given it to you. But the only way that that becomes effective in your life is if you sign the back of it. If you say, yes, I agree, and I accept Jesus Christ. And once you do that, you can begin the process of understanding what it means to worship fully and embrace Christmas the way that God intended it to be. So worship fully because Christmas begins and ends with Jesus. The second thing is to spend less. Spend less. Feel less stress. Feel less stress. And free resources for the things that matter to Jesus. Less stress and free resources to the things that matter to Jesus. Now, what I mean by this is as you look at your Christmas this year, and maybe you're going, man, I just don't have the ability to be able to give my time, effort, energy to something outside of this because my life is so busy. Well, then you go, okay, what in my life can I eliminate or remove or pare down so that I can have more time, energy, effort, and money to be able to give to something that will last forever? So you have to spend less. Maybe that means going, hey, we usually get, 10 gifts for our kids. This year we're going to do 9. I know all the kids went, hey, stop that. But we're going to do 1 less because we're going to take that money and that energy and that effort that it took to go get that, and we're gonna reroute that to something that's gonna last forever. Maybe there's a particular area, a particular ministry that you're really excited or really involved with. And I would tell you this: maybe there's a charitable organization or something like that that you can give to your time, your energy, effort. But let me just share something really with you really quickly, because there's a lot of things in our world that do good. There's a lot of good stuff that happens. But God has never called us to do good. He has called us to do our best. There's a lot of things out there that do good things, but they never lead people to Jesus. If all you're ever doing is, and unfortunately, I'll just say this, and we're going to move on. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but unfortunately, a vast majority of churches in our world today do a lot of things like that that have no spiritual element to them. And all it does is make you feel good about yourself because you help somebody out. It's not about Jesus. It's not about connecting them to Jesus. It's about you feeling better because you did something. And it's an easing of your conscience. That's not what God's called you to do. God has called you to live your life and connect people to Him. So what I would challenge you with is how you are spending your time, energy, effort, and money. Ask the question, is this ultimately leading people back to Jesus Christ? Or is it just giving food, or just giving clothing, or just giving money? Because people can be well-fed, they can be well-dressed, they can live in nice homes, and they can still die and go to hell. And that's really important for us to remember when we look at how we're going to use our time, energy, effort, and money. Because that is the ultimate end. That's the ultimate thing that we have got to ask, how is this going to turn out? And you go, well, I don't know. I mean, I think there's good things. Let me just, Jesus Christ, right? He's the one that we're supposed to look to. And people go, well, look what Jesus did, right? He would go in and he would heal people, and he fed 5,000 people, so we should feed 5,000 people. And yeah, but ask yourself the question, after he did that, what did he do next? He always taught them. He always showed them, hey, this is the way to God. This is the way to God. This is the way to God. Every time. Without hesitation. Without any equivocation. That was always the end result. And so my challenge to you is, when you use your time, energy, effort, and money, ask the question, what is the end result? Because if the end result is not directing or pointing people to Jesus Christ, then really it's something that won't last. And you're just spending and spinning your wheels again. So, worship fully, spend less, give more. Give more. Now, this I want to move completely away from money, because every time you talk about money, everyone always thinks, oh, well, yeah, because you, no. I want you to give more, but I want you to give more in a very specific area. I want you to give more relationally. I want you to give relationally, to offer one another presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, instead of merely presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. You see, there's a lot of things that we believe are true. And one of the things, especially as parents, that we often believe is true is that if our kids have the nicest, coolest stuff, gadgets, games, gear, that's really what's going to matter. And so what we end up doing is we set this mythical, this wrong ideal, and so we say to ourselves, to meet this ideal, we've got to spend more time working. We've got to spend more time shopping. We've got to spend more time doing this and this and this and this and this. And what we end up doing is we spend, and I literally use the word spend, so much of this that we never have time to invest in our children that matter most. And so my challenge to you this year is to ask the question, what am I in the balance here? Am I actually giving those that matter most to me presence, as in I am present with you, I am here with you, or am I just giving stuff? Because this won't last, will fade away, will break, will disappear, will be forgotten about. But this will last forever. Those of you that are old enough to remember and have, you know, fond memories of being at your grandparents' house or aunt and uncle's or whatever, I'm sure you've got stories of when you spent time with them. Or maybe you're like, I remember my grandpa and me, we would go out fishing, or we'd go out hunting, or we'd sit and we'd play cards, or he taught me how to play poker, you know, whatever the case may be. And you remember that because they were present in the situation. They engaged with you, and that was far greater than any gift that you ever received. And so my challenge to you this year, because Christmas really is about engaging in the relationships around you as well, is that you make sure you invest more in presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, than you do in presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. So give more relationally. And then finally, love all. Love the least of these in the way that Jesus asked us to. Love the least of these in the way that Jesus asked us to. And I think when Jesus uses that phrase in the passage that we read, the least of these, I think of it this way. He's asking us to love people who cannot love us back. He's asking us to show kindness to people who have no ability to repay it. He's asking us to do things without an expectation of receiving praise or honor or glory or an award, but rather we do it because God loves them. You see, excuse me, we started this morning reading John 3:16, for God so loved the world. God loves the world. Every man, every woman, every child that has ever been born, God loves so much that he was willing to give, to sacrifice his son so that they could have a restored relationship with him. I want you to think about your worst enemy. You know, your arch rival. The person that you stalk on Facebook just so that you can mock them. God loves them just as much as he loves you. Jesus died for them just as much as he died for you. That person that you see that you, in your heart and your mind, you think is disgusting. Whether it's because of how they look or how they smell or how they act or the life that they live, you think to yourself, I am repulsed by them. God loves them just as much as he loves you, and Jesus died for them just as much as he did for you. So my challenge to you, this gift that I would encourage you to give to Jesus, is to intentionally love someone. Do an act of kindness. Go out of your way to someone who cannot or maybe will not show that kindness or that love or repay whatever you're giving to them. Because that is exactly what Jesus Christ did for you and me. Jesus Christ died a death that you could not die. Jesus Christ paid a price that you could not ever repay. That's where we come up with those two terms, grace and mercy. Grace, God giving you what you haven't earned and don't deserve. And mercy, God not giving you what you have earned and you do deserve. You see, we see that and we embrace that and we celebrate that at Christmas. But then when God asks us to mirror that to others, we recoil. And we go, not them. Oh, no. I don't think so. And God goes, but that's what I did for you. Do that for the least of these, just like I did for you. You see, when we spend less time, energy, effort, and money on the things that won't last, it allows us to give more time, energy, effort, and money to the things that will last forever. So whether it means a dramatic change in how you're living, or whether it simply means a change in attitude or perspective or the why behind what you're doing, my challenge to you is to give Christ a gift this Christmas. Don't let it just be about other people giving gifts to them, but give that gift to Christ. Maybe this morning, as we talked about giving yourself first, that's the first time you ever heard that. It's the first time that it ever made sense. Today I want to give you an opportunity to do that. And just in the quietness of this moment, I'm going to ask you all, if you would, if you'd bow your heads and you'd close your eyes and you'd just kind of connect with me for just a moment here as I talk to those of you who are thinking about this. The Bible teaches that when you are willing to accept Jesus Christ, that he's readily ready to receive us. So just in the quietness of this moment, if your heart and your mind, and you're going, man, I'm ready to do this, I'd like to ask you to just pray with me something like this in your heart and mind. Dear God, I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ died in my place. I accept his gift to me. Dear God, I want to live my life for you. Father, we are so thankful that you would allow us to see how you're working in those around us. God, for those that are here maybe today, and the reason that they're here is because they recognize people in their life who are living out Jesus, who are living out their faith, who are living out the life the way that you've called us to, and there's something that draws them to that. I pray that today that would be a recognition of this is what's at the core of all of it. God, for those of us who are already followers of Jesus Christ and maybe we've allowed Christmas to just get out of control, God, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be drawn back to the truth of why we're here, to live our life in a way that honors you. God, for those of us who maybe just need to make some changes in what we're doing, whether it be worshiping fully or whether it be giving more or spending less or whether it just be loving, showing love to those who cannot or will not show it back. God, help us. Give us the strength to act like Christ so that others may see Christ in us. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.